We are in Bereshit, Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Avram is in the middle of talking to the king of Sodom. And he says, Biladai, except, Rak asher achlu hanarim, only what the lads have eaten, so we're leaving that for them. And Chazal say, you see how careful the tzaddikim are, even something that, for whatever reason, Chazal call it gezel hanechal. If a person steals something and consumes it, you can't give it back. You consumed it, so you'll give something else back. But it's pretty bad. You took what the guy had, what he wanted, and now he doesn't have it anymore. And Avram says, I can't give you back what my lads have eaten from your stuff. That you have to forgive them. So you see how careful he was that shouldn't be held against them. So for whatever reason Avram held, he has to apologize for that. And this needs a lot of work because technically Avram was entitled to everything. So he not only gives everything back, he's apologizing for what they ate. That what they ate, that's got to stay. V'chelek ha'anashim asher alchu iti, and the portion of the people who went with me, aner eshkol ha'mamrehim ikhu chelkam. Aner eshkol ha'mamre, they take their portion because they did help me out. And here Avram institutes a great institution that stayed intact to the time of David HaMelech, that Chazal instituted, kechelek, that we divide the portions fairly between those who go out to war and those who stay back and guard the home front. How? David HaMelech, who learned it from Avram Avinu in our parasha. Achar devarim ha'ile, haya devar Adonai el Avram b'machaze lemor, al tira Avram, anochi magen lach sechacha harbe meod. God tells Avram in a vision, don't be scared. Al tira avdi Yaakov, al tira Avram. The forefathers have to be told, don't be scared. And the question is, how are we to understand that philosophically? Was there reason to be scared? Was there any imminent danger that Avram was scared? And if there was, what is Avram supposed to feel after God tells him, don't worry? So now I'm not supposed to worry? That's the way it works. God says everything's going to be alright, so everything's going to be alright, right? Why should he be worried now? So for that, we know Rashi, that Avram was worried maybe he lost some of his merits. How many people he killed now? He's worried. God tells him, don't worry. I am protecting you. Anochi magein lach, magein Avraham, right? I am your protector, God tells him. That's what we say every day. Hashem, you are the protector of Avraham and his offsprings. So, I am going to protect you. Sechalcha harbe meod. And your wages are very, very great. Vayomer Avraham. So, Avraham said, Adonai Elohim matiten li, ve'anochi holech ariri, uven meshek beiti hu damesek Eliezer. Avram says, Hashem Elohim, notice it's, the word is Elohim, it is spelled Midas Arachamim, it is pronounced Midas Adin. Yud Ke Vav Ke sometimes is pronounced Midas Adin, so that would seem to be Rachum Bidin. What are you going to give me? I am going barren, I'm going to die without kids. The one who's going to inherit me, the one who's running my home, is Eliezer from Damascus. Why is he called Damascus Eliezer? For he draws out his Rebbe's Torah and he waters the flock. What do you do when you draw out and you water? You throw the pitcher all the way down deep, 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 into the water. The water comes in, you pull it up. One, two, three, you pull it up, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. You finish pulling it up. You have a bucket with water. You drink what you want, and then you pass it around. How hard do they have to work to drink it? Not so hard. You just pass the bucket around. Each one drinks. You had to let the bucket go all the way down, and you had to pull it all the way up. When you give it to everyone else, is it hard? No, it's much easier than all the work you put into it. What? Oh, that's true. So Eliezer, he was dole. He would go to the depths, take out what he learned to mashke, and give to drink. Sometimes when we teach others to learn, we feel like, I worked so hard to get that. You're just coming in and asking me a question, I'll just tell you the answer. You should just know it was hard to get there. We see that a good student, even though he's worked hard to get class, sometimes you walk out of class and someone says, what'd you learn today? And you say, well, if you would have been there for an hour-long class, you would have known that at the time of the Akedah, such and such we learned. Or you would have known that we spent all afternoon trying to understand how to work out Mishnah Gimel and Dalit and Tanis, but now I have it down pat. I could summarize it in 2 minutes. So he says, okay, teach me in 2 minutes. And you say, what do you mean? I spent all afternoon on it. That's wrong. That's what we see from Eliezer. Yes, you might have to let the pitcher all the way down into the bucket, all the way down into the well, and pull it all the way up. But now if you have it easy, give it to someone else easy, just like Eliezer gave it over easy. And it's interesting, those who grew up with tradition would swear that Eliezer shows up numerous times in the Torah. Because we know, who was the servant who went with him to war against the kings? Eliezer. And who was the one who went with him at the time of the Akedah? Eliezer with Yishmael. And who was the one who was sent to bring back a wife for Yitzchak? Eliezer. But if you look in the Torah, you will notice that this servant, Eliezer, only shows up by name over here. Nowhere else does Eliezer show up by name. It is our tradition that tells us it is he. But that's our tradition. Doesn't say it overtly in the Psukim. Nope. It says Ne'arav, the lads. Doesn't say Yishmael. Right? Go look through all of Parshas told us. Eliezer's name does not show up. All of Parshas Chayisara, I'm sorry. Eliezer's name doesn't show up. It says Ha'eved Avdo Zekan Beito Ha'ish Ha'eved. But it doesn't say Eliezer. Vayomer Avram. So Avram says to God, Hein li lo natata zara. Behold, to me, you haven't given any seed. V'nei ben beti ureshuti, and the one who's here in my house, he's going to inherit me. And in Avram saying so, there's a great discussion among our sages whether Avram sinned or not. Is this a falling of Avram when Avram says, God, you haven't given me anything. He's going to serve me. He's going to inherit me. V'hinei. Why is it relevant here? So, Rashi tells us why it's relevant here. What does Rashi say? I will protect you and you're going to have a lot of schar, God tells him. Avram says, what kind of schar can you give me? Everything I have, I'm going to die and leave over for my servant. That's schar? God tells him, V'inei dvar Adonai elav lemor, lo yirashcha ze. God tells him, saying the following, this, ze, will not inherit you. Ki'im, but rather, asher yetze mimeyecha, he who comes from you, your own son, hu yirashecha, he will inherit you. So now Avram hears he will have a son. Is that son going to be from Sarah? Doesn't say. God tells him, asher yetze mimeyecha, the one who comes out of your innards, he will inherit you. Yes, sir. We just finished Pasuk Dalet. Tetvav Dalet. Yeah? Okay. Vayotze oto achutza. And he took him out. Where did he take him out to? He took him out under the stars. Why is this of relevance? Because God's telling him, you are not under the stars. The world is under the stars. You are above the stars. I control your destiny. You are not controlled by nature. And we have a custom that couples get married under the stars. This custom isn't really brought in strong halachic sources. It's not obligatory to get married outside under the stars. But this custom is a reference to this pasuk that God tells him, come on out under the stars. You're not under the stars. So God blesses him and he says, Vayomer habetna shamayma, look at the sky. Usfor kochavim, count the stars in tuchalis botam. Can you count them? Vayomer lokoi yezarecha, and God said to him, so will be your offspring. And that's why couples get married under the stars, to commemorate this pasuk, so that it's a sign of blessing that they should have offsprings like the stars. Avram tells God, you know, I looked at my astrology, and I've studied astrology. Avram has studied astrology very, very well. And Avram tells God, looking at the stars, I see that I will not have a child. And God tells him, Tzei me'itstagninut shelcha. Get out from your astrology. Ein mazal li'Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Jews have no mazal. Their destiny is not defined by the stars. The nation's destiny is. You have to have wisdom to understand it. But their destiny is. Ours is not. There's another medrash that says, Yisrael me'ala mazal. Yisrael is above the mazel, and there's another medrash that says Yisrael can be above the mazel. Seems to be different opinions as to whether we begin under the mazel or we're never there to begin with. Does Vayotze Oto Achutza, when God took him out from under the constellations, was God telling him, you are now out from under the constellations and your offsprings will never be under the constellations? Or was God telling him, just as I took you out from under the constellations, your offsprings have the potential to come out from under the constellation? No. Kihi chokhmasem uvinasem leinei ha'amim asher yishmeun eis kol achukim oile ve'omiru rakam chachom ve'novon ha'goy ha'godol haze ki migoy godol umi goy godol. What is goy godol and mi goy godol? Chazal say that we know astronomy very, very well. It seems that it goes hands in hand. Okay.
But not to foresee the future.
We've lost that tradition. It's complicated to define when it is and when it is not prohibited. It's not so simple that any form of astrology is prohibited.
You can't foretell future from animals, bones,
We have to discuss this at greater length. We discussed it a little bit on Hoshana Rabbah by night. This deserves its own class. We also discussed it in the Torah when the Torah says it, and in the Drashas Haramban. But now we can't take the time for that. V'heemin b'Adonai v'yachsheve alo tzedakah. And Avram had emuna in Hashem. What does emuna mean? Good question. V'heemin b'Hashem. So Chazal say that when God told Moshe, take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, what does Moshe say? V'heim lo yaminu li, they won't believe me. How will Paro believe me if they won't believe me? And God says, you say they're not believers. Heim ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. There are believers, the sons of believers. V'atan sofcha la'amin. But you'll see there'll come a time where you won't be a believer. But they are believers, the sons of believers. That is a reference to this pasuk. V'heimin b'Hashem. Avram had emuna in Hashem. The word emuna needs definition. And we've been spending many of our classes alluding to possible understandings of emunah, as we discussed in the Drashat Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmimat class. Shishi, so we're up to Shishi. Dayomer Elav, God says to him, Ani Hashem, asher hotziticha mu'ur kasdim. I'm Hashem, who took you out of the fires of kasdim. Latet lecha et ha'aretz hazot lirishta, to give you this land to inherit it. Vayomar, so Avram says, Hashem Elokim, Hashem, again, Elohim, Midas Adin, spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Rachamim. Bamoidaki Rasheno. With what sign will I know that I will inherit it? When God tells him you will have children, which seems to be a much more important test, a much more important promise, God tells him, you, Avram, will see yourself having children. Avram does not ask for a sign. When God tells him in the distant future, your offsprings, they will inherit this land, Avram does ask for a sign. How does Avram call God? He tells him, Aleph, Dalet, right? Avram calls him with the Shem Adnut. Avram was the first one to call God Master. That's this pasuk, Hashem Elokim, Master. Hashem, who is potent one, who is omnipotent, rules the world. With what will I know that I will inherit it? He's asking something which is slightly audacious. He's asking, give me a sign. And Shmuel tells us that as a punishment for this, his offsprings were in forced servitude for 210 years. That this was an error on the part of Avram's. Notice we've seen different opinions as to what caused the servitude in Mitzrayim. Now we see another one. Vayomer Elav. So God says to Avram, Kecha li, take for me, or bring before me, Egla Meshuleshet, Eglah Meshuleshet can be understood as a pair, a threesome of calves, or a calf, which is the third one, the most chosen one. The first two children that an animal has, very often it's weak. They're not the best. The Eiz Meshuleshet, the Ail Meshulash, the Tor, and a young bird, the Gozal, and a young chick. God tells Avram they're going to have the land of Israel. Avram knows that the tendency of man is to go down. And so Avram recognizes that together with the blessing of having a homeland, so his children will not be these traveling, preaching people like he was. They will have a territory that is theirs. And this territory is the holiest territory on the planet. Yet at the same time, what will be when they sin? What will be when they're living here and they start going in pagan ways? So will you wipe them out like the generation of the Mabel? Will you do to them like you did the generation of the Palagai? Will you scatter them over earth? So God tells him, no, I won't. So Avram says, and what sign will you give me? So God says, bring me forth these animals. Our sages say that with these animals, God told Avram, they will have the opportunity to bring sacrifices that will grant them atonement. So Avram said, I understand when they have a temple. But if that temple gets destroyed, then how do they gain atonement? So God said to Avram, in case the temple is destroyed, let them read the parsha of Korbanos. Let them read as though they've sacrificed the offerings, and I will consider it as though they've done it. Uneshalema parim sefateinu, we pay off the cows with our lips. And that's why it's brought in halacha that one should try to save the parshios of Korbanos. That is what protects our stay in the land of Israel. The Sfaradim are very careful about that. You'll see Sfaradim coming to shul. They all sit down and say Korbanot in the morning, in the afternoon. Ashkenazim should. But I don't see Ashkenazim doing it as much as Sfaradim. So we should learn from our brethren, the Sfaradim. Every Jew is supposed to at least say every morning the Korban Tomid, preferably more than that, but the minimum is at least the Korban Tomid every morning and every afternoon. That is the continual sacrifice that was brought every morning and every afternoon. Here, yeah. What?